Kevin, do you believe in miracles?
Oh, I do, especially in football.
Yeah. You think we saw a miracle in Minnesota?
I don't know if we saw a miracle in Minnesota. I saw a very bad defensive play in Minnesota. I saw probably the worst tackle in history. I'm sure there's been worse, but when the outcome of that happens, that makes it really, really bad. But on the other side, it was a Minnesota miracle because the Saints are going to win that game. But we'll talk more about that.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, what a crazy weekend, because I know I shouldn't be making NFL picks anymore.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So real quick, of course, this is the End Zone. Thank you for joining us. It is the conference championship edition of the End Zone. But before we get into a little business here, Kevin, just stop and think about something for a minute. The four quarterbacks vying to go to the Super Bowl are Tom Brady, Blake Bortles, Nick Foles, and Case Keenum.
Yeah, there's no Breeze. Yeah, there's no Matt Ryan. Yeah, yeah, it's there's yeah.
No Big Ben.
Yeah. No Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, well, Aaron Rodgers might have got another win this weekend anyway over the other four. Anyway, well, maybe not Brady, but definitely over the other three.
Are you talking about his new girlfriend?
Yeah. I mean, apparently he's dating Danica Patrick. And the sad part is, I really do think that's a little bit of a downgrade from his previous girlfriend.
Olivia Munn, yeah.
Yeah. And still, Danica Patrick is doing quite well for yourself.
Yeah. I think Danica Patrick's actually really cute.
She's
got a nice smile, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't have any, other than Brady, we don't have any other quotation mark marquee, quarterbacks. But, in the playoffs, this is where legends start. So maybe maybe one of these guys will step up and make it into that elite quarterback discussion.
Yeah. Well, speaking of stepping up here at the Fandom Podcast Network, there's all kinds of great places you can find us, and it all starts with our main homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. And, of course, if you're mobile and on the go, you can always use the Podbean app on any of your devices, whether it's Apple, Windows-based, or some other type of device. And, of course, you can also find the Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play app. If you use an Android device, all you have to do is look up the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, and visit our Facebook page, Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook. You can send us an email if you got some thoughts about the End Zone or any of our other great shows to fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Of course, we're on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPod Network. And of course, I'm Kyle, and you can find me on Twitter at AKyleW and on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
So we're down to the nitty gritty, Kevin. We are down to championship week, but we got to start with the wrap up of divisional weekend in the NFL. And like I said, I should never be allowed to make NFL picks again.
Okay. Do you remember what your picks were?
I had Atlanta beating Philly. I did have New England beating Tennessee, but I think most of the world did. I had Pittsburgh over Jacksonville, but I did pick the Minnesota Vikings to beat the New Orleans Saints.
I'm trying to remember what I thought. I thought Atlanta was going to win that game. I do know that. New England, yes. I was picking Pittsburgh. I can't remember who I picked for Minnesota, New Orleans. I think it was New Orleans. I think I picked New Orleans. So, yeah, I shouldn't pick either. let's talk about that Philly-Atlanta game. Low scoring, 15-10, Philadelphia wins. Nick Foles, of course, brought his team to win that. What was your take on that, man?
One, I cannot figure out Atlanta. They've been missing something all season. They have way too many weapons for their offense to play like they did against Philly. Now, Philly does have a great defense. And I think Fletcher Cox, even though he gets a lot of notoriety, is very underrated for the Philadelphia Eagles. But the Eagles really didn't impress me that much either. Foles played just well enough. I thought Jay Ajayi started off looking like he was just going to explode over the Falcons, and he kind of just disappeared. There's just nothing on the Eagles that just makes me stand out without Carson Wentz there. And I was just like, I think it was more Atlanta failure than it was Philly stepping up.
I think you have a good point there. I think that game was a good example of who made the least amount of mistakes. Now, I know that's a very generic thing to say, but I've seen teams do really well and still make a decent amount of mistakes. But it seems like Philly was able to, you know, keep the game in check, and Atlanta just wasn't able to get it going. That really surprised me because, you know, for a few weeks there, Atlanta really had a lot of good weapons, and their defense really stepped up the week prior. I'm not sure what happened this time around. I mean, if you can't keep a team like Philadelphia to 15 points, I guess that's a success. But I guess the big thing is their offense. Atlanta just sputtered.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's that they're missing Schottenheimer and if they're going to change offensive coordinators in the offseason and get rid of Sarkisian.
Or maybe it's because they're from Georgia.
No, I'm not going there.
I'm sorry. I tease, but I feel really bad for the Georgia teams, you know, because the week prior, Georgia lost to the national championship in Atlanta against Alabama. And then Atlanta can't close out this championship game. So I feel bad for Georgia.
Well, I know I would get a lot of grief from a certain lady friend of mine if I say anything too bad about the Georgia Bulldogs. So I'm just going to behave myself. So let's move on, though, to the game that I think everybody really had pegged, and it went pretty much the way we thought it would, and that's New England at Tennessee. New England's just on another level compared to everybody else that's left in the AFC.
Yeah. Yeah, they got a lot of weapons there. They know, you know, if someone's injured, next man up comes in and performs well. And it's when it comes down to it, it's good coaching, and also it's good relationship with the referees.
Oh,
well, yeah, there was, yeah, I went there.
No, because what was it? There was one drive in the second quarter the Patriots had where they got 5 first downs on that drive via penalties.
I know. God.
And I'm going to be serious about this for a second. We joke about a ref bias, but I think subconsciously, even the refs are so used to New England executing so perfectly that when something goes wrong, oh, somebody must have done something on the other team to screw things up.
Did you see that meme I shared today? It was the championship matchups, you know. And it shows Minnesota at Philadelphia, and it shows the logos, and it shows Jacksonville Jaguar logo, and then the New England logos referees. being a Raider fan, we know about that, but we haven't been the only team victimized by favoritism by those referees. Come on.
Yeah, well, we'll talk more about the Patriots here shortly.
But on the other side, I love to tease the Patriots, and super sweet. I know if you're listening, you're rolling your eyes right now, and you have every right to. But even without the referee help, they are a great team, and we did expect them to beat Tennessee, and you know we expect them to go deep into the playoffs. You know, I got to give credit to Bill Belichick. He's a great coach. He puts a great staff around him. And the players know coming in under that regime that it's his house, and that if you want a ring, you got to play your part. If you don't do your job, you're sitting on that bench. As much as I can't stand the Patriots, I have to at least give them the credit of the team that they've been able to put together and put this dynasty together.
Yeah, no, I agree. But let's move on to what I think really is the upset of the weekend, and that is Jacksonville in a 45-42 victory over the Pittsburgh
Steelers. Looked like it was going to be a blowout by the Jags in that first half. Were they up like 21-7 or something crazy
that? I was doing some stuff, and I didn't get to the game until it started in the second quarter, and I saw the score was 21-0, and then I did a double check when I saw it was the Jaguars up 21-0, and I'm just like, the Jaguars just have Pittsburgh's number this year, because if you remember, the Jaguars did beat Pittsburgh in the regular season too. But what I thought about this game, even though the final score was 45-42, was that it never felt like Pittsburgh was in this game, even when they started getting close.
Yeah. It was towards the end there. It felt like Jacksonville was letting up a little bit, which was kind of making me a little nervous. But they've had their number. But even though they've had Pittsburgh's number, Jacksonville is just one of those teams you can't take. Everyone's been on Blake Bortles. And I know you can't stand the guy, but he put up a little bit in this one, man. You got to give him some credit there. He was making some good plays. He was looking like a championship quarterback there.
I'm not going that far. He made a few nice passes, but he made some bonehead plays too. It's not that I despise Blake Bortles. He's just immensely frustrating, and he's painful to watch.
Kyle hates Blake Bortles.
No. You got the wrong quarterback. The quarterback I hate is wearing silver and black.
Oh, whatever. Shut up.
But that's any quarterback wearing silver and black. I know Derek Carr is a good guy, but he's too nice for the Raiders. I'm starting hashtag free Derek Carr now.
Oh, whatever.
But no, I mean, Pittsburgh played an amazing offensive game. I mean, that one touchdown catch by Le'Veon Bell was amazing. But it just, every time it seemed like Pittsburgh got close, Jacksonville either made a defensive play or Blake Bortles made a throw that made a big play that did that. And, I will say this for Jacksonville. I do think Jacksonville is actually the kind of team that has a puncher's chance against New England, because they're going to do the one thing that really kind of always seems to get to Tom Brady. It's that they can get to the quarterback and they can beat up the quarterback.
Yep.
And if you look back a couple years ago, those times New England lost to Denver, they lost to Denver because the Denver defense got to Tom Brady.
Yeah. Brady, we'll talk more about that later, but he's got to be quick on his toes and release that ball fast.
Yeah. I mean, Brady can't hold on to that ball long. I look for Gronk to have a huge game against Jacksonville because he's going to get the ball thrown to him quite a bit. And then, of course, we had the miracle in Minnesota, or the
Minnesota miracle
in Minneapolis. What a game, first of all. I mean, a lot of people had Minnesota was up 17-3 or something at one point, and a lot of people just thought Minnesota were going to cruise. Here comes Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, and so many just great plays in that last quarter. I mean,
that was a fun game.
You think about it. Willie Snead throws that ball just a hair second shorter, and Alvin Kamara's gone for a touchdown on a wide receiver option. You had, what was it, 4 scores in under the final 2 minutes?
Yeah. That was crazy. But that's what we love to see as football fans, just lead change after lead change in a short amount of time. And
okay, well, let's look at the end of this game, though, Kevin. I'm curious if you were thinking the same thing I was. So New Orleans takes the lead, and they're up by 1. Minnesota drives, amazing throw by Keenum, and an incredible catch by Adam Thielen.
Mm-hmm.
Where it gets Minnesota in range, and Forbath just nails that kick. All I could think about was, they gave over 2 minutes to Drew Brees, and he has a couple of timeouts. This is not going to end yes. well for the Vikings.
Yep.
And, of course, Drew Brees drives him down the field. They get the field goal and take the lead by 1. Now, there was a kind of a key moment in this, though. There was the out route Willie Snead caught and ran out of bounds, which prevented the Vikings from having to use a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, that turned out to be pretty important.
Yes,
there.
It did. Yep.
And so the Vikings get the ball back. They have a penalty, and then they make some plays. They get about to the 39-yard line, and they had to take a timeout after the 39-yard line. And Case Keenum throws this just arching pass to Stephon Diggs. Now, I'm of the opinion even if Marcus Williams makes contact with Stephon Diggs, I think Stephon Diggs was going to make it out of bounds. A lot of people say, oh, he would have never got out of bounds. I think Diggs would have powered through and got out of bounds. He's that good of a receiver. And he was pretty close to the sideline. The Vikings would have been in field goal range at that point, no matter if he had been tackled or not. But Marcus Williams, for some reason...
But you have to look at how much time was left on the clock, though. I mean, if Marcus Williams is the player that he is, he's smart enough to know that he should have tackled that guy inbounds. Because what was there like? Was that made with 10 seconds? Was that catch made with 10 seconds left?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying, though, is I think Stephon Diggs was close enough to the sidelines, he would have made it out of bounds.
I'm not sold on that. I mean, it's possible, but if Marcus Williams had done that play correctly, I think he could have tackled him inbounds and gotten a knee inbounds first before he'd gotten out.
Now, in defense of Marcus Williams, who's a rookie, had a great interception early in the game, has been actually very solid for the Saints all season. It was poor tackling. I really thought he got scared he was going to commit pass interference. And I think that's kind of why he took this weird turn, because he was like, no, I don't want to get it.
That's possible, yeah.
As a rookie, you know, he's thinking, I don't want to get a pass interference call because here's this pro all-pro veteran compared to my rookie self at the end of the game.
Okay, okay, question for you. Let's say there was a pass interference call. That stops the clock, right?
Correct. And the game cannot end on a defensive penalty.
I know that. You know that too.
Yes, exactly.
So then if that was a pass interference, then a clock would have stopped, then they probably would have gone for the field goal, right?
Right, exactly. Because
yeah.
The minute they lined up the ball and set the ball, the clock would have started again.
Right, right. Okay. You know, I don't know. It's a possibility, but it's like, I don't know what he was thinking with that weird kind of like he was trying to almost like take him out while he was in the air or something, but
I think that's what it was. He was trying to get under him and try to flip him to make it so he didn't even have a chance to land, get out of bounds.
Yeah, I feel bad. I feel bad for the guy. I hope that he is a rookie, but I hope that he you know, I think he's made a name for himself as a pretty good defensive player. I mean, I wouldn't mind having him on the team, you know.
And here's my thing, if I'm New Orleans, knowing that Minnesota's probably going to be throwing some kind of Hail Mary at that point, how do you not have somebody just say, you, go down to the 10-yard line?
Right. Yeah, but, you know, on the Minnesota side, you got to give credit to Diggs for pulling that in. And it was interesting because when he takes that catch and he lands, he was almost expecting to be tackled or to be falling to the ground. And he, like, landed on his feet. And he's like, oh, man, I'm still upright. I got to run.
Yeah. I know. It was just insane. But, I mean, it makes for a great game, and it brings us to the championship matchups, which will be the Jacksonville Jaguars going to the New England Patriots and the Minnesota Vikings going to Philadelphia. Mm. So we got a couple of interesting matchups to talk about, but we'll get to that in a moment, because let's talk a little NFL news, Kevin, because it was coaches hiring week, apparently. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Three of the positions have been filled or are going to be filled. You have to take in mind that none of these hires can officially be announced because these coaches are still in the playoffs.
Right.
They can't, but it looks like it's pretty much set that New England defensive coordinator Matt Patricia is going to take the Lions' job. Minnesota offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur is going to take the New York Giants' job. Mm. And Josh McDaniels is going to take the Colts job.
Yeah, we knew he was going to get hired.
So I want to look at a couple of things here. First, let's talk about the two New England coordinators, because New England's now obviously losing their offensive and defensive coordinator. Here's my thing with that, Kevin. McDaniels wasn't bad when he went to Denver, and I don't think he got really a fair shake there, but I think Elway really wasn't a big fan and wanted a clean house. But for the most part, assistant coaches from under Bill Belichick have not done real well as head coaches in the NFL.
Mm.
Or even in college, for that matter.
What examples do you have?
Charlie Weiss, when he went to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Romeo Crennel.
Yeah.
Obviously, McDaniel's got kind of a didn't do real well in Denver. So I'm just like, I wonder how much of it is the system that's in place in New England. I think Patricia is more going to be the curious example to see, can he break the chain or not? But of all the, I mean, and I like Pat Shurmur going to the Giants. I think that's a good hire. Shurmur's is very solid. I think he learned a lot from his Cleveland experience, and I think anybody who's coached the Browns deserves a second chance in the NFL.
Yeah, right.
Because they never probably got a fair shake with the Browns in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Shurmur, too, this is going to be very interesting to me, what could happen with Eli Manning. If the Giants decide to trade Eli Manning, let's remember that Case Keenum is a free agent at the end of the season. You don't think Case might not be interested in going to the offensive coordinator who helped him turn around his career?
Possibly, yeah. But that depends what type of offer Minnesota makes, right?
Right. But Minnesota is such a bizarre situation. They have three guys who are probably deserving of a chance to start in the league again.
Yep.
Sam Bradford played very well for Minnesota. He just can't stay healthy. We all know the Teddy Bridgewater story, and obviously Keenum. And I just don't see the Vikings putting a franchise tag on Keenum unless they win the Super Bowl.
Right.
But is Case Keenum really worth $25 million a season?
If you can come out of it with a Super Bowl, yeah. Because that's going to put, you know, I mean, they're not going to have problems selling seats, but you know, if you can retain the quarterback that got you a Super Bowl, sure.
Yeah. And I think the most interesting is Josh McDaniel to the Colts, because that all depends on one big factor. Is Luck healthy?
Oh, God, yeah. Well, I hope so. He hasn't played all year, and he's got another offseason to get healthy, so yeah.
Yeah, so I'm hoping he is. I think the league is much better with Andrew Luck in it than without it, but his whole injury is weird, and the Colts organization is a little strange with that owner, so I'm not quite sure about that. But, you know, so we've had all these coach hirings that really love with the only open job with Arizona. But wait, the Titans got into the fray late. A lot of people thought Mike Mularkey was going to get fired before the Chiefs game if they lost to Kansas City. Well, they won. And then later in that week, the owner gave Mularkey a vote of confidence, saying he's our coach, we're going forward. Well, 2 days after the loss to the New England Patriots, the Titans parted ways with Mike Mularkey, Kevin.
Is this something that some negotiations started, or just losing to the Patriots, they're like, yeah, no.
I don't really think the Titans.
It seemed like Mularkey was going to keep that job no matter how far further they went in the playoffs or not.
That's what it appeared. The win over Kansas City turned things around. But, you know, I really just think this is a case of the Titans weren't really all that keen on keeping Mularkey in the first place. I think they really want to bring in a more offensive minded coach to help develop Mariota. And I think with the win, it kind of put them in an awkward position. And I think they probably went in with ideas to negotiate because Mularkey was coming into the last year of his contract. And I think that the negotiations just didn't seem that sincere and honest, and they just agreed it was better to part ways. So I'll be curious to see where the Titans are. A very interesting team as far as there's some pieces there. And I do think an odd, more offensive-minded coach would really benefit the Titans and help Marcus Mariota. Because
where do you see Mularkey going?
I think he might take a year off or end up as a OC or a DC. I'm sorry, a DC on some for somebody.
Arizona job. What are contenders? You think?
I really don't know. I mean, at this point, it's kind of up in the air. It could be somebody who's surprising that we really wasn't on the radar. I really thought Pat Shurmur might end up in Arizona because that seemed like a place where he could go with Case Keenum. But to be honest with you, I'm just not really sure if there's an assistant out there or if there's somebody who's been kind of out of the mix. But Arizona's such a weird situation, too. I don't know if anybody really wants to take that job with – there is not one quarterback on the roster.
Yeah. just some other news I want to touch base through NFL.com here. Brian Schottenheimer is named Seahawks' new OC. Our former defensive coordinator that was fired halfway through the year, Ken Norton Jr., leaves the Niners. I guess he joined them briefly to take the Seahawks' DC job again. So he's returning back to the Seahawks where he won a Super Bowl with. Bree says that he will be here as long as the Saints will have them. And then Sarkisian is set to return as the Falcons OC next season. And this is interesting. I don't know if we need to worry about this. You said we don't. Jags running back Leonard Fournette was injured after a minor car crash.
Well, he was able to drive away and really no issues from his owner's own power. Nobody said there was any major injuries from the last report I heard right before we came on here to record. So, you know, sometimes you know how car accidents go. The next day is when you feel it.
Yes, it's true. Any of that news jumps out at you there?
Not really. This is always kind of a slow news time because the NFL tries to keep a lid on the news while the playoffs are going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, but you know, Kevin, let's talk about it. We've got conference championship games.
Final four, baby. Final four. These are all on Sunday, correct? Yes. Looks like it.
Yes. Are you like me where you're just kind of annoyed by the start time of these games because they're so oddball?
Yeah, there's like a okay. So the first game's 3 p.m. New England hosting Jacksonville. Then it's 6:40 p.m. Eastern time. Minnesota at Philly. Can't you push that up a little earlier? I mean, what's wrong with the 1 o'clock start and the 4:30 start?
Yeah, this started a few years ago. It used to always be 1 and 4, and then they started doing this to kind of sneak into prime time, I guess. But really, I mean, these just feel awkward and everything. But let's start with the AFC Championship game, which is the first game at 3:05 Eastern. Jacksonville at New England. New England's favored by 9. I said earlier I think Jacksonville has a puncher's chance with their defense, and I do believe they do.
Did you say puncher's chance?
A puncher's chance, yes.
Can you explain that, please?
You know, it's the old boxing metaphor that you always have. All it takes is one punch.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
So a punch, you know, guy
you
who
said,
throws
you
a
said
lot
that
of
a little earlier, and I was like, "What did he just say?"
A guy who throws a lot of punches always has a chance of just landing that perfect punch and
gotcha, okay,
getting
okay.
the knockout.
Yes. Now so, let me ask you something. What Jacksonville did going into Pittsburgh? Should New England be worried? Super sweet, are you listening? Are you worried?
I don't think New England actually ever worries. But I think they need to be worried about something, but it isn't this weekend. But I think New England at least needs to pay attention. And I've never seen New England take an opponent lightly. So that's why it depends on what Blake Bortles shows up. I mean, if we get the Blake Bortles that played against Pittsburgh, Jacksonville can hang around in this game. If it's the Blake Bortles that played against Buffalo, this is going to be a blowout of epic proportions.
Kyle hates Blake Bortles. You have a point, though. I mean, he's kind of a wild card. It's weird, you know? I mean, I would love for this game to be competitive, you know? I would and I would love for, you know, Jacksonville's defense to come up some good plays, but I still see New England winning this game. And a possibility by double digits, and because, you know, the experience at this level and at this game is definitely in favor of New England.
Yeah. Well, and I know Jacksonville's probably lobbying to get this game played in London, but
a little late for that.
Come on. I can just hear it now. Oh my God, is that Sir Blake Bortles' music? Good God, man. But no, I mean, I just don't see Jacksonville having the horses on offense to keep up with New England. I mean, they're going to have to play a perfect defensive game.
They're going to have to do what they did last week against Pittsburgh. Their defense has got to make plays. And, you know.
Yeah, but their defense has to make more stops than what they did against Pittsburgh.
True. But, and you know, I think they need to do it sooner than later, obviously, you know, because yeah. I don't see them trying to, if they're playing catch up in the second half, I don't see them beating the Patriots.
I mean, okay, come on, Kevin. Really, the truth is, you probably need to be up by at least 40 in the fourth quarter before you can rule the Patriots out. Even that's probably questionable.
Well, Atlanta knows that.
Georgia! So, I mean, as much as I hate to say it, realistically, I am picking the New England Patriots to win the AFC Championship and go to the Super Bowl.
As I am too.
Which takes us to the 6:40 kickoff of the NFC Championship, the Minnesota Vikings at the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, Kevin, bear with me for a moment, because now I'm going to explain to you why New England should be scared. And I'm going to go, are you familiar with Bill Simmons?
That name sounds familiar, but please remind me.
No, he's actually a reporter. He did a lot, used to do a lot of stuff for ESPN. He was called the sports guy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's got his own podcast network and everything called The Ringer. And I was listening to his podcast on my drive home today. And Bill Simmons is a huge Boston fan. And he is absolutely terrified of playing the Minnesota Vikings in the Super Bowl. And here is why. You know, teams that have bad luck, like, let's say, the Boston Red Sox. For years, they have that stench. They can't break that karma. Then something amazing happens, whether it's a game or a play, and it just seems to turn everything around. For the Red Sox, it was when they came back and beat the Yankees in the American League Championship Series years ago and won
four straight games, yeah.
Right. And ever since then, it turned it around. But it was that miracle game set that turned things around. Well, now let's look at the Minnesota Vikings. Hard luck team. 0-4 in the Super Bowl. Some hard luck losses. Let's look back to that NFC Championship game that they lost to Atlanta that one year, where Gary Anderson misses the kick. Dennis Green doesn't get aggressive with 40 seconds left and just say, I have Randall Cunningham and Randy Moss. I might as well at least try to heave it down the field.
The playoff loss to Seattle with the missed field goal.
By Blair Walsh. Well, what happened Sunday was one of those miracle change your fortune kind of plays. And let's think about this. The Minnesota Vikings would be the home team in their home stadium hosting the Super Bowl. They would get to be in their home locker room, their home practice facilities. Can you think of a bigger advantage for a team?
Yeah, that's a big advantage, but going into that Super Bowl, if it does happen to be New England, Minnesota, New England's still going to be favored.
Oh, New England's still going to be favored. But here's the thing. I think Minnesota is a better version of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think they have more offense. They have a solid running game. They have a nice 1-2 punch with McKinnon and your boy Latavius. They have two good wide receivers. They have a good tight end. And they have, I think, their defense is maybe just a slight step down from Jacksonville, but still very good. I think Minnesota is a nightmare matchup for the New England Patriots.
When you were listening to that, was it podcast?
Yeah, it was a podcast.
Do you know if Minnesota, I'm sorry, do you know if New England is looking past Jacksonville?
I don't think they are. I think New England fans might be looking past Jacksonville, but I don't think Bill Belichick and Tom Brady will never look past a team. You don't have that kind of success because you've looked past teams. So, but I don't see Philadelphia having the horses offensively to keep up with the Vikings.
Well, Minnesota is favored by 3 at Philadelphia. So usually the home team, if they're, you know, gets that complimentary 3. So,
yeah, they didn't even get that.
I don't know. I just can't count out Philadelphia at home right now. Philadelphia's hungry, man.
I know Philadelphia's hungry, but so is Minnesota. And I think Minnesota's defense is a lot better than Atlanta's.
I would agree with that. Yep. Yep.
I think Nick Foles could be in for a long day. I will say this. I don't know if I'd even be able to watch the Super Bowl if it was New England and Philly. Because
why?
New England, I don't think Philly would have a chance in hell against the New England Patriots.
Yeah, it would. I think it's going to be interesting. So is your pick New England, Minnesota for the Super Bowl?
My pick is New England, Minnesota to be our Super Bowl matchup.
I'm going to say that as well. Mostly because I want to see Minnesota succeed here, and I want to see them play in their home stadium on Super Bowl weekend. And that's awesome. That's never happened before.
And think about this too. Could Case Keenum be the new Tom Brady? Quarterback out of nowhere?
How long has that guy been around? How old is he?
He's not. I think he's like 28 or 29, but he spent like 3 years as the backup in Houston, a year as the backup with the Rams. Maybe more Kurt Warner than Tom Brady.
Okay. Yeah, I'd rather go with that. Yeah. We'll see. This is going to be good.
Well, speaking of playoffs, let's talk a little mediocre fantasy football advice, my friend.
Yeah.
Namely, Kevin Reitzel's playoff league challenge.
Yeah, our fantasy season isn't over, man. Not yet. Not by a long shot. So, okay, as a reminder, NFL.com has this fun playoff challenge where you pick what players are still alive in the playoff, and you got your quarterback spot, you got two running backs, two wide receivers, you got your tight end, kicker, and defense. And you pick and see which ones score the most points, and your points tally throughout the playoffs here. And if you pick some players that were eliminated from like the wild card weekend, you can pick brand new players that are still alive. But here's the trick. Each time you have a player that survives to the next week and you're playing them and you played them the week before, you get double points. And if they play again and they survive, you get triple points. And if they make it to the Super Bowl, you get quadruple points. And so I said part of the strategy in this is that you might want to start some players that had bye weeks in the first round, because when they go into the divisional round, they're going to get double points right off the bat. Right, Kyle?
Yeah. I benefited from that this week.
Yeah, as did I. Now, technically, we have 15 people in the league, but my buddy Kat kind of bowed out. So even though he's in the league, he's not participating. So I'm just going to count 14. I was towards the end there. And I'm at 12 right now. And you are at number 10. Now, your entry, let's look at your entry real quick here. Your last week's entry, you had Tom Brady and Gronkowski going in with double points, and that did well for
you. Yes.
You had Alvin Kamara as well, but unfortunately, he's been eliminated.
Yeah, but I did get double points for Kamara.
You did, yes. You started Antonio Brown on his bye week too, just like I did, and that paid off. Unfortunately, he got eliminated, but he and Brady both got us 50 points this week each.
Yeah.
Who did you start?
Julio Jones in my other wide receiver spot.
Who did you start as your defense this last week?
Minnesota.
Well, that paid off. So you can, I assume you're going to keep playing them so you get those extra points from them.
I have played Minnesota every week, so I'm up to triple bonus on Minnesota.
Nice. Very, very nice. Okay.
Nick Foles, you can get interception happy.
Yeah, this is true. For me, I had, from the first bye week round, I had started Tom Brady, Deion Lewis, Brandon Cooks.
Okay, wait. Stop. We need to talk about Deion Lewis for a second.
Yeah.
Freaking James White in the playoffs.
I know, right? So that's the problem with the Patriots running backs. You're never quite sure. But the reason why I went with Deion Lewis is because he was the most reliable one. He was on two of my fantasy teams and he did great. He got a lot of touches, got some touchdowns, but then James White will come in and start vulturing a bunch of them, you know. I'd also started Gronkowski and Steve Goskowski, the kicker, and I also had the Patriots defense going into it. So I admit it, I went Patriots heavy. You're welcome, Super Swede. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players I got in the conference round there getting me triple points. So we'll see how that affects my score, and see if the Patriots will survive that. Of course,
I have three giving me triple points in the conference round, in the championship round, and one giving me double points.
Nice. I unfortunately had started Alvin Kamara, and I did start Antonio Brown. I got the double points like you did, but unfortunately, I got to find another wide receiver and another running back going into the conference round.
Okay, so let's ask this then. So give me some names that you're kind of eyeballing here, because I've made my picks for the conference.
Well, okay. I need a running back and I need a wide receiver. Now, if I, I've gone all Patriots temporarily. I went with White, and then I went with, I'm sorry, what's the other receiver?
Brandon for? Cooks?
No, no, I have him, the other receiver that's healthy.
Hogan?
No, 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 no.
Amendola?
Yes, Amendola, thank you. But do I gamble? And they will only give me single points right now, okay?
Yeah.
Do I gamble, though, and go with my heart and go with someone from Minnesota? Do I go with, like, Adam Thielen or Stephon Diggs?
Okay, or... here's my thought process. I love Stephon Diggs, but Stephon Diggs usually tends to be boom or bust. Mm-hmm. Adam Thielen is the more consistent of the two receivers, and I have picked up Adam Thielen from my open, one of my open wide receiver spots. Both of my receiver slots are open because I had Julio Jones and Antonio Brown.
Right,
I'm
right,
going
right.
with a combo of Brandon Cooks and Adam Thielen for my wide receivers this week.
Yeah, I was targeting one there, but the running back position is where I'm a little more kind of have a quandary about. Latavius would be if I'm going, because you know, obviously I want someone that's going to advance to the Super Bowl because our lines are going to lock after this.
Yeah.
Going to the Super Bowl. So if you're going to play someone that does not go into the Super Bowl, you're without those players in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So do I just hedge my bets and play all Patriots? Or do I go with someone who I think is going to be a little more productive in the Super Bowl, and yet they still have to get to the Super Bowl, and maybe go with someone on the Minnesota side? So I don't know.
I am taking the risk and going Latavius Murray because ever since he's come in for the injured Dalvin Cook, he has at least been good, if not for a 100-yard game, a good 60, 70 yards and a touchdown almost every week.
Yeah, I was I'm happy for him. I was bummed that they let him go from the Raiders, and I'm glad he got picked up. But so I know he's a decent pick. But part of me wants to go with the safe side, just go all Patriots, because I want to have all active players. Because, you know, I believe the Patriots are going to win that game against against
you're not you're leaning Minnesota, but you're not quite as sure as you are.
And going into this game, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players that are all going to give me triple points as it is.
Yeah,
I need that 2 extra players that are going to give me double points because I'm going to have to be starting them fresh this week. They're going to give me double points going into the Super Bowl.
Man, the only risk is you're really hurting if Jacksonville pulls off the miracle upset.
I know. And that's what will kill me. But there's a lot of other people in this league that are doing the same bet. They're not as Patriots heavy as I am. Yeah, that's going to be a big upset. That's going to change things a lot. Yeah. But that's what's going to put me over the head, because that's what I did last year, and I was able to push way ahead after this round last year because of all the extra points, and then clinch it with the quadruple points that I got in the Super Bowl. And I think I had out of my whole team going to the Super Bowl last year, I may have had one player that was inactive because it got eliminated the week before, because that's the key thing, that if you're playing in this matchup, you have to set your lineup going into the conference championship league because it's going to be final after it ends. You don't get to pick up or drop anyone after this one. You go in with what you got into the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So decisions.
So right now, you're at number 10 with 241 points, and I'm behind you at number 12 with 225. And Whipperfrosh picks are at 302. They're the leaders right now. And that is that's less than 100 points there, okay?
Yeah.
But let's look at first place picks of last week, okay? So last week they had Drew Brees, Le'Veon Bell, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, Rob Gronkowski, and they just started Rob Gronkowski, by the way. Will Lutz is the kicker. Doesn't show their and their defense was the Jaguars. So they're not getting a bunch of bonus points going into the second round. They will for the defense, the Jaguars. They'll get triple points for that, and they'll get double points for Rob Gronkowski. But everyone else is going to be starting fresh with no bonus points. And this guy is currently in first place. So what does that tell
that
you?
That won't last long.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. Yeah, and I'm looking at the guy that's in second place. He was by 1 point. He started Tom Brady, but he started him brand new. So he's only getting double points going into this this championship round. But he did start Leonard Fournette, who's going to get triple points, and he just picked up Rob Gronkowski, so he'll get double points. But everyone else is Saints and Atlanta players, with the exception of the defense. He will get triple points on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, crazy. It's going to be
it's a fun league, isn't it?
Yeah, I liked it last year when we did it. It's going to be quite the finish. But yeah. And speaking of finishes, Kevin, I think we've hit everything that's going on in the NFL, but let's talk real quick about what else is on the Fandom Podcast Network. And let's start with Blood of Kings.
Yeah, Blood of Kings, man. We're really excited. We are just releasing our look to 2018, as we're calling it season 3 for Blood of Kings, because it is the third year of Blood of Kings. And I like to use a little TV analogy there. And I had a chance to answer some fans mention some fans' suggestions about what they want to see from us. And some things that we're looking forward to. So we're really excited about that. 2018 is going to be an interesting and fun year. And also, we've recorded the first of a few Highlander Endgame podcasts that we're going to be covering, because I'm going to be participating in the sword experience that Adrian Paul, TV star of Highlander, has been doing here in Atlanta in a couple weeks. And so we decided to cover the movie Endgame, because he's going to be doing a sword choreography from that movie. And then we're also going to be we're doing Endgame. We're doing a retrospective and a commentary. And then we're going to talk about my sword experience.
Sounds good. And I'm officially going to change the name of the network, Kevin. It's going to be the Discoville Podcast Network.
Why is that?
Because Discoville is a hit, my friend.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Norm's been doing a great job heading up Discoville, getting some great notes together, and I've been happy to be his co-host, and you've been on a lot too. It's fun, and Star Trek Discovery came back with a bang these last couple of episodes after their winter break. So we're really excited about that, man. We're getting a lot of attention on that podcast. A lot of people are enjoying it, and we're getting a lot of feedback, which is great. And Orville book just came out. I just got my late Christmas present from you. The World of Orville hardcover book just came out, man. It's awesome.
Yeah. And you know, I just real quick on Discoville, last week we covered the season premiere of Black Mirror, the USS Callister episode.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of positive responses for covering that Black Mirror episode. So there might be some Black Mirror culture clashes future. And speaking of culture clash, Kevin, that's, of course, our news show covering the weekly happenings in fandom and, of course, some reviews. We got a couple of fun things going on. We've got the countdown to Avengers Infinity War, where we're following the cinematic. Every week we're watching, in order of cinematic release, the Marvel Universe films until we get to Avengers Infinity War. So a nice, fun countdown there. And, of course, pulled from the basement, Gunter's Guide to Ready Player One.
I'm excited about that. Yeah, we're gonna cover what all the pop culture references from the book Ready Player One did, the reason why is because we're really excited about the movie that Steven Spielberg is doing, a movie version of it being released in late March, and we want to show people all the great stuff that comes from the book and all the great pop culture reference of movies and music and television, and so we're gonna do a segment each week talking about that.
Yeah, and of course, over at Couch Potato Theater, we hit those films that they pop up on cable TV and you just can't turn them off. You have a secret soft spot in your heart for them. And recently we've done Doomsday. We did the Doctor Who 1996 special with the Eighth Doctor played by Paul McGann. And of course, we discussed Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man. And upcoming, Kevin, it's time for a little tango and a little cash.
Yeah, excited about that. We got a few more, too, that we're going to bring up. We haven't mentioned yet with some other guests from the network that are going to participate in that. So I'm excited.
And of course, we have the Time Warp. We just wrapped up looking at the films of 1987. It was amazing to do that. And of course, Kevin, the flux capacitor is taking us back to 1985.
Yeah, man. Really excited about that because that was an iconic year in pop culture and movies. And as I like to quote Erin, she calls it the most 80s of the years in 1980s with some great movies such as The Box Office Champ, Back to the Future. Really excited about that. There's a lot of really good movies that came out that year.
All I have to say is preach it, Sister Gill. Preach it. and of course, finally, we have Good Evening, our Alfred Hitchcock podcast hosted by Brandon, Chris, and Tom, where they just go into a deep dive history of the master of suspense. It's an education. It's enjoyable. Definitely check out Good Evening and Alfred Hitchcock podcast. And with that, Kevin, I think it's time I'm going to call one quick audible. I think there's only,
you gotta be careful.
There's only one. Yeah, there's only one way to end and make sure we end up into the end zone, Kevin.
Well, not unless I can tackle you in bounds.
Well, there's that, but Kevin, I just feel it. We haven't done it in a while, so I'm calling the audible now. Jimmy GQ! Jimmy GQ!
Jimmy GQ. You had to throw in out a Jimmy it, GQ reference, didn't you? You just had to.
Yeah, I had to do it. And with that, enjoy. Yeah. Blake Bortles! Hate Blake Bortles!
Kyle don't like Blake Bortles. Kyle has a man crush on Jimmy GQ.
Oh, look who's talking.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited. Thank you, everyone, for listening to The End Zone. We got some exciting football coming up.
Yep. Enjoy conference championship weekend, everybody. And we hope your team finds their way into the end zone and into the Super Bowl. Thank you for listening, everybody. Leave tomorrow behind.